everyone. Oh, hello. It's Law Crimes. Whee!
Evening, afternoon, gentlemen.
Gaming.
Who's moist for some elf lore?
Don't preempt it, Hal. Before we get started, because I promised on the second channel, which I launched last week, that I have now revealed my face. No longer am I a hidden law criminal. I am now on camera, and this is me. So, hello, everyone.
Andy. Yeah, who the hell is that? No, I'm joking.
Imposter Professor Oak. No. Yeah. How is everyone? We all good?
I'm ready for this. Age of Sigmar has been teasing me with those glorious Vermin Lord models. Over here. As of time recording, there's no more Warhammer releases for the rest of 2024. So that's a good old 5 or 6 months out. We're just left with a good old steaming Kotiaz. So I'm ready for Age of Sigmar to fill the gap in my lonely heart.
Hell, I've got an honest question that's going to show my education level.
Mm-hmm.
What is a Kotiaz?
Kotiaz? The Inquisitor.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Stormcast Inquisitor.
I just call him Cortez.
I got corrected. So bad.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Someone corrected me. I called him Kotiaz on one of my Lionel Johnson videos because he shows up at the end of Arcs of Omen. And someone corrected me instantly. Yeah, pain. The bed is also made, by the way. This is a dog.
Made-ish.
It's made around the dog.
Right off. You can kind of see your feet, the bottom left. Oh.
Doug.
Doug is good. For a little preface here, we are obviously talking about Age of Sigmar today here, boys. There are some... One of us is very excited about elf lore, elf sim.
Hello.
The first video I ever watched of Collins years ago, when Andy asked us if we all wanted to join together for another channel just for fun, and we were like, hell yeah, that sounds like fun. The first video of Collins I watched, the first thing I saw was an Idoneth Deepkin one. Was it the elf Idoneth, the Idonussi or something?
I was probably involved.
I still enjoyed your 40k face reveal where you just had like spicy was it chicken nuggets?
Oh my god, that was like, miserable. That was hell.
You're like, oh, you were to say your mate's going, hey, I'm on like number 7. Fuck you. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's because I puked twice during that.
Oh no.
A discarded batch though. Oh, just for preface, the question we will be done at the end of the episode, but today we're gonna go straight into Age of Sigmar lore. If anyone one more thing, Andy.
Before we do that, should we quickly mention the donations we've had before we start? Because we're going to be doing that in 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so the first one we got is from Bloody Shirt Music. Take shot every time the word elf or elves is said.
You're going to die.
That's going to be a lot.
And another one from Bloody Shirt. He also gifted 1 Law Crime membership. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Beastman from Sweden for sec. 20, he said that face needs some money thrown at it. Oh, thank you.
This is the guy who's like, he knows a lot about Warhammer Fantasy, doesn't he? This is our resident fantasy expert.
Indeed. Oh, thank you, Shane. He said very nice things.
Colin does look very handsome today. The beard is looking good.
I do need to go to the barber though. It's getting a little bit out of hand. It's harder to see on the $20 face camera I have from when I needed one for Zoom classes.
I must admit. Beards, mine always gets lopsided, so I have to like pull it, because otherwise when you have a pointy beard it goes one side, not the other. Gravity is not your friend.
If mine could just grow like an inch higher up my face regularly than it does, I would never need to shave again.
So you don't shave the cheeks?
No, I do. I'm saying like if it could just end here, like more consistent, like all the way up to here. Would never.
Oh, do you have like the thing where it goes like just this? There's a gap next to the.
There's like little grows here.
I thought that was a style
thing.
It
goes again there. It's not a style thing.
And then I realized it's not a style thing. That's just whereas mine just like.
You know, it just grows like that, which is infuriating because I want my mountain monster beard.
Bro, the temptation to immediately shave into like a buzz cut, grow a long beard, and get swole. For no apparent reason, and forget all responsibilities. But we do have a responsibility today, though.
Indeed.
We are talking about some Age of Sigmar lore, and this is the Idoneth Deepkin. I'm not really going to go into it, because Colin's primed up and ready to explain everything about this. If you are kind of new to Age of Sigmar lore, you're wondering why there's also Space Marine 2 gameplay. That's because it's just come out and it's good. It's really good.
Because why not?
It's there.
And I've got to show off how good I am playing as a Scythe of the Emperor heavy. So
Subway Surfers. Yeah.
Level 20.
We're gonna get another video about this. Not a full reveal of what we're doing. Just little teaser about Space Marine 2. I have complaints.
Yes, we. Okay. Yes.
Save it.
Yeah.
It's an 8 out of 10 that's missing the 8, and I will say no more.
We have some pre-recorded stuff coming up for all people. We saw some comments about people who missed some pre-recorded stuff. We're doing it again. Some pre-recorded.
We're trying to get a nice balance of community chatting, but also pre-release, pre-recorded stuff. So, like, we're still trying to get our balance.
DJB's just called me Chicago Bricky. I'll, you know what? I'll take that.
That is kind of. I mean,
I'll live with it.
Shout out to anyone who wants to, if they donate high enough, we'll write the donations on our foreheads.
We got enough room.
But speaking of people who don't grow beards and have maybe not the biggest foreheads.
Indeed.
Elves. The elves live again.
It's time to talk about elves while you watch your Subway Surfers footage.
I'm so ready.
So, Idunet Deepkin is what we're talking about today. They're, you know, I know many people's opinions on elves, but with the Deepkin, I do think people look on them a bit more kindly because the ocean is cool. You know, the ocean's awesome. Sharks are awesome. If that's what it takes for people to like elves, then by God, I will accept that. But unfortunately, in order to talk about the Idunet Deepkin, we have to go to the end times first, briefly, but it has to be done. So while the end times were happening, the last elven god, Mathlan, be devoured, he's the god of the sea, took some of his faithful, took whatever souls of elves he could find, and hid away under the sea, 40,000 leagues under the sea, or whatever, trying to, you know, keep him hidden, and he was the last holdout, but when the whole world's getting devoured, you're going to get down there eventually, and sure enough, him and all the elves he sequestered away were devoured by Slaanesh, which is, as you can guess, a bit of a traumatic experience. With that, you know, world blows up, yada, yada, yada. You've heard me complain about the end times enough. We eventually get to Age of Sigmar times, the Age of Myth, where Tirion, Teclis, Malekith, his name is now Malarion, but no one ever calls him that. His name is Malekith, and Marathi just started beating the hell out of Slaanesh to make her puke up back all those old elf souls. Which, to be fair, was pretty successful. She was trapped, and thanks to their efforts. A little bit of Tzeentch was involved in that, but mostly their efforts. It was mostly the elves. Tzeentch saw a chance to weaken part of the great game and was like, all right, hey, elves, she's over there. And that was kind of the extent of his influence. And once they trapped her and, you know, took out some trauma over their world blowing up on her a bit, they started taking elf souls out of her. The first were the Idunet Deepkin. The word is C-Y-T-H-A-I. If anyone has any pointers on how to say that, I say Kathai. But if anyone has any, you know, ideas, I got a shrug.
Oh, no, how do you spell that?
C-Y-T-H-A-I.
Sakai, yeah.
Sakai.
I say like Kathai, but I have no idea.
It's a sea, isn't it? It's like Sathai.
That's maybe.
I feel like Cyan, so it'd be like Sakai or
is Scythe spelled wrong?
Yeah.
Names.
I say Kathai. There's plenty of other ways to say it. It's a fake Warhammer word for elves, so however you want to say it.
Sorry, don't you mean elves now?
No, I mean elves.
I'm 100% confident that GW no longer calls them elves.
they call them elves.
Yeah. Now,
but you can add an A to the front of the word elves all you want. I'm calling them what they are. It's an elf. These were the first ones, you know, Teclis dragged out of Slaanesh, though. And he started about doing what he would then keep trying to do until we eventually got the Lumineth, which was recreate the old high elves. He taught them about the old world a little bit, their gods, being like, all right, I know a little bit of Cain is still around. I think Assyrian was a little bit in Slaanesh. They're kind of still a little bit around, a little bit. He's doing everything he can to recreate the high elves to the best of his abilities. Problem is, they, like I said, being in Slaanesh is a bit of a traumatic experience. They were very withdrawn. They were clearly traumatized. They were resentful. They weren't opening up with Slaanesh, or like about what had happened, or up to Teclis or Tyrion or anyone really. And Teclis was like, you know, he would interview them and try and find out. Except he's a god, and apparently, you know, he's gotten a little bit less afraid to throw his weight around, I guess, as it were. So in some of his
whole question, So when they drag the souls out of Slaanesh, are these like essentially high elves and dark elves that are like reincarnated, or are they literally like they have memories of like the old world, and then they're kind of dragged into this new setting, which is like nothing that they recognize?
They're for the most part like reincarnated. There are a couple that have some like memories. For example, Eltharion, he's back with the Lumineth. He, I believe he does remember being Eltharion the Grim.
So he's like a special case there, but the they're not Idaneth yet, though. They're just elves.
At this point, yeah, they're not like the proper. This group of elves will become the Idaneth, but at this point, they're just kind of, you know, elves.
Idaneths for the discussion's sake.
Yeah. Although I think some of them might theoretically, at least the ones initially at this point, they were taught about the old world, and some of them might have had flashes of memory, like some of the Stormcast Eternals do. So I think it stands to reason some of the Idaneth might have. But for reasons we'll get into, you don't hear about most of those stories because of what happens to them. So we'll get into that. But yeah, Teclis trying to deal with them was made some of them go a little bit insane. So they withdrew even more. And at one point, they just all became just afraid for their lives, because Teclis's therapy tended to end up with a corpse when he was done. So, like, he wasn't trying to kill them. He was trying to figure out where he went wrong. But it was kind of like viewing the entire future Idaneth populace as a lab experiment, for lack of a better word. So when he tried to correct something with a being's soul, that you know, most people don't live that kind of thing.
But they didn't turn out the way that he wanted them to be. So he kind of ended up inadvertently treating them terribly.
He wanted his glorious, like, image of what the high elves were in his mind, and he got a bunch of elves that had the mother of all PTSD.
Damn.
Yeah. Not great. At one point, they all decided, these Sithai, whatever that word is at this point, we gotta go. We're leaving. So they fled into the ocean of the mortal realms, which along the way, they stole a lantern from Teclis. That's, you know, a magical lantern that it helped him draw souls from Slaanesh, because they felt that if Teclis still had that, they might be able to find, or he might be able to find where they fled to. So they just nicked it on the way out. Teclis, for his part, was going to kill all of them for this. No holds barred. He was just going to kill all of them. But Tyrion, you know, he's cooled down a bit since between settings. And he was like, hey, maybe you can hold off on that. Maybe don't kill all of these elves for the sake of, you know, them not turning out how you wanted. Which,
remarkably restrained for the less angry brother.
For the guy who pulled the Sword of Cain, a remarkable restraint.
That really is like the guy who's like the least sensible of the group telling you like you need to calm down, and so you've really gone too far. So he's like, damn.
I like to think he's had a little bit of character development after the end times. Like maybe things can be solved without stabbing them.
Not being funny, imagine like if the apocalypse happened, I'm sure all of us would go through some sort of growth arc at some point.
At some point,
unless you're Nagash,
he's gonna come up later. Don't you worry. He's not growing. Growing in power, of course, for such is the power.
Oh, no. Of Nagash. My Nagash grow until I Tomb King.
I appreciate
it. Yeah, I do have to address a comment immediately in the chat. Thankful. This dude is actually on my case. He says, Hal getting that Igeneth GF tentacle from under the table. Brother, no.
I must say, like, Fanquil is a fairly new addition to the crew, but every time we see any of the messages, Fanquil puts up their gold. Foul, but great.
Such is the power of Fanquil in the comment section. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
And, you might be wondering, why is the ocean your first pick for choosing to hide? It, you know, when it actually does make some sense. Teclis did still teach them, you know, some magic and stuff before he decided they were on the exterminatus list, so they use that to help them survive under the sea. Of course, that doesn't quite answer the question of why, that's more so how. The reason as to why is because, first of all, if you don't have the magic or you're not suited to surviving down there, ocean pressure tends to kill you. I mean, what is it? Isn't it like it's like thousands of atmospheres down at like the bottom of the ocean floor or something?
Enough to give you a minimum a headache. Maximum, crush you into a ball.
Yeah, enough to where, yeah, minimum headache, maximum, you're not resurfacing.
I do have a question about the Igeneth. Do they breathe underwater? Do these ones like evolve to breathe?
Between their magics and now them like evolving, yeah, they breathe underwater.
Do they have
they like flat out live under the sea.
Okay. So they are somewhat land and sea based.
Yeah, like they attune to it so much, like they're at the point where like they'll detect like when they're underwater, right? And even kind of above water because of how some of their magic works, which we'll get to, they navigate as much by like ocean currents and changes in pressure compared to like, you know, sight and sound. They so they're pretty well adapted to live down there now. The reason being, you know, first of all, something tries to go kill them and then the ocean just takes care of it for them. Ignore all the sea monsters, it's just the pressure of all the water. Second of all is that the ocean, you know, it very much dampens the senses, right? Like, you can't hear very well underwater. You can't see very well underwater. You're just kind of constantly feeling vaguely moist. So, you know, just you're in the water. You're wet. You feel wet.
Me listening to a Pancreas No Work video.
Hal, I appreciate that, but you're also not helping the Fanquil allegations.
True.
But so that actually helps them not only, you know, stay hidden and protected, but less sensation, less emotion, which means they're not feeding Slaanesh very much either, because that's still one of their main overarching fears of traumas of we were in Slaanesh for however infinite amount of time between settings there was. We don't want to feed her anymore. So ocean helped them out with that a lot. Naturally, they also, you know, become accustomed to either magic or just normal taming to, you know, like taming sea life, stuff like that. You know, all the different thousands of stuff you see in The Little Mermaid, all those animals.
Turtle model.
The big turtle, my beloved.
Glorious. My God. There's also the model where the guy has like literally the octopus on his shoulder or back or something.
Yeah, he's one of the... It's like holding a mace too, like just in one of its tentacles. It's great.
Ocean stuff is just so cool, man. Like, there's just like, if they ever do like exodites in the 40k version, for the people who aren't aware, like exodites are essentially like what Igeneth are. They're like a heavily adapted kind of off the grid Eldar, like coven slash... Well, they're like on separate like maiden worlds, isn't it? They're on their own like separate worlds, and they're a bit more tribalistic.
Yeah.
And they, from the current things I've seen in the 40k lore, they've often been described as like, oh, it's like very like palm tree esque slash deep forest style. But if there's like, obviously depending on the world, it could be literally like an Igeneth Eldar version. It'd be so cool.
That would be really cool.
Or a conversion opportunity for people who are listening.
Or that, yeah. Take some Igeneth, put them on a Lizardman model, and you've got an Exodite.
Oh, God, don't tempt me. I can't afford another army. Bruh.
Speaking of Igeneth, though, this is around the point they started calling themselves the Igeneth.
What does it mean?
Great question.
Was it into like the depth or something? I Duneth into the depth?
Could be. Totally honest. Like, the full name is Idoneth Deepkin, so the Deepkin part makes sense. I don't know what Idoneth means. I'm going to be fully honest.
But if people in the comment section or in the chat, if you have any extra knowledge, that'd be helpful.
According to Warhammer community, it means extreme seclusion or desperate measures.
In what world does it mean that? I don't understand.
In Idoneth elf speak.
Oh, bruh. Okay. Thank you, GW. Okay. Once again, the naming conventions are not always...
Tell me what it means to fulminate someone.
I mean, ultramarine, but it's not actually the actual color ultramarine. There's a different shade of blue.
They're like slightly different blue, but they're kind of cool. I did a very short video on them because they have no lore, but they're kind of cool. Not really, but it's fine.
What actual color is the ultramarines?
Ultramarine.
No, they're not. Like, isn't that
that's the joke? They're not actually ultramarine blue. Oh,
<God. laughs> you got us on that one, Andy. good lord. I did that now. They didn't learn that Tyrion had told Teclis to, you know, chill the hell out. So they stayed hiding. They rejected, you know, these new gods, and they tried to call out to Mithlan again, who was busy being dead in Slaanesh. So that didn't work out. And now they've got no divine aid. They don't really even have a society. So they had kind of have to work from the ground up to recreate their own society as best they can. They try and recreate Mithlan, which they moderate amount of success with. He's not back, but that if you've seen that model of the dude with the ocean cape that looks unbelievably gorgeous, it's called an Eidolon of Mithlan. So they can call upon some level of power relating to him.
Because again, it's like I assume in Age of Sigmar, the warp, or not in the warp, sorry, like Chaos Realm still exists in some way that they can access, and then obviously belief manifests.
Those rules are still in still in play here. So as this happened, they were finally able to, like, all right, we're reasonably safe from Teclis. We're alone down here. We're getting used to the ocean. They also, you know, looked in and accepted that they might have been a little bit corrupted by Slaanesh. Not necessarily like the, you know, obvious Slaaneshi corruption, just you spent eons in a chaos god, you're probably going to come out wrong.
I guess like Drukhari aren't corrupted by Slaanesh, but they look different to regular craft world Eldar in some way. There's something darker about them and
twisted. Yeah, like something is not right. And sure enough, there were two problems. One is called Malachi, something like that. Mallachi.
This isn't Malekith.
No, this is not Malekith. Unrelated. Which is...
Wow, they really, really spread their wings on that one, didn't they?
Who knows? which is... the less, prevalent problem... because this only happens to a couple of them, but when it does happen, it is it's basically the Black Rage. It just happens sometimes to some of the Idoneth. Very few of them. It starts as the Black Rage and then ends in, I believe, quote, savage debauchery. So, not pleasant. But again, it doesn't happen that often. There's no cure for it. Kind of like the Black Rage, unless you're Mephiston, it just happens. And when it does, it's like, well, that guy's gone now. Nothing we can do for him.
It's just like the really, really talked about Gene C problem with the Raven Guard, where they get extreme depression.
I forget about that.
Yeah, I forget that one.
Because they never bring it up. Well, their default state is moody depression. You can barely notice.
Well, the Raven Guard have moody emo depression, but then the Imperial Fists have kind of nihilistic, I don't care, I'll just die. Defend a wall and I'll die. Yeah, but it's like it goes uber. It's like no longer fun at that point, which is a shame. And to be fair, surely the Ultramarines have what would the word be? Accounting tendencies. That must be a gene flaw, surely. Like, they're really boring to talk to, but like they're really cool. Like, with they save me money, but they're also really boring to talk to.
They're very efficient, but they all they talk about is their taxes. That's it.
Yeah. Speaking about also, paying some taxes.
What here, a gameplay though. Footage. Oh.
I'd say yeah, just the controller disconnect on the screen there. We didn't have some.
No, it's fine. Yes, I'll put them up now.
And it was so a donation.
Coffee Grounds, Fortniting, gifted 5 Law Crimes memberships. Thank you very much.
Hell yeah.
We also had one from Donkey Man USA for 5, whatever that is. Rereading End in the Death, take a shot every time Dan Abnett writes Dark King.
I'm not gonna lie, that short off for a while that did get a little bit grating.
Again, don't do that. You're going to die.
Parker Simon for $10 says, when can we expect a Transformers dedicated law crimes live stream? The new movie is coming out soon, and it's arguably has a much bigger impact in pop culture than Warhammer. Just say that hurts. Shut up.
That's sad.
That's disgusting. Mr. Milov, Bulgarian something, be into expert on Subway Surfers featuring 4. He is not wrong.
We got Caleb Collins with the $2. Techless screwed up more than Magnus could hope to. I'm gonna just call.
Yeah, I like that's
false,
that's all.
False on that.
Hang on a minute. That's crazy.
Techless is what Magnus.
I'm not being funny. I just did a video on the war and the webway, and I was very clear to be like, "Hey, Magnus screwed up for not just like the war, but for everyone who ever travels through the warp for like 10 millennia, that's bad."
Also,
I can't see how Teclis can compete with that.
Teclis maybe had a like should have just let Tyrion be dead because the flame of Middenheim should have been left alone
there. Yeah.
Yeah, should it like reasonably so? Like, I get it. I probably would, in fact, maybe consider sacrificing a city for my beloved family. But I think Magnus slightly gets a bit bigger because he ruined the webway and therefore ruined the entire future of the human species forever because of that.
He also like double dipped. Like, that's also just ruining the webway, you know, for the Eldar and everyone in it. Like, he didn't just.
Well, like the Drukhari. Oh, big whoop.
I'm not saying, you know, I don't feel bad for them. Like, you know, they deserve it. But the other Eldar, like, you know, the Harlequins, people like the Harlequins, and Magnus was double dipping.
There's some goofy guys. Too. It's fine.
Tom Warren for the $2. Big Turtle mentioned. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, I'll talk.
But there's also rip on Magnus, by the way. He's now a demon Primarch and has smooth bump. Between his legs, he has.
I was wondering what you're going to say there. Smooth bum.
Smooth bum. Incoming backup for the 30 squiggly, so I don't know the currency. Love me wet, slimy, yucky elves, but seriously, they're very cool, and their depiction in Soul Slayer is very cool and intimidating. I actually read that book, it's great. In brackets, wet-y. Also, they do something that makes me cry. Hail boy gum.
Wet,
might
slimy
be the book. I know, I've read the book, so it might be what I know. The Smashing Badger.
Can
that's
you
a hell
be
of a
the
name.
Funniest person.
She eyed on my neck to my deep kin.
Thank you
so much. Do you want to read that, Colin?
Sure. Tom Warren, thank you for the 10. I'm leaving my terrible paying pain in the ass job for what will probably be a well-paying pain in the ass job. Congratulations. So I'll have more money to digitally throw at my favorite bunch of nerds. Well, that's much appreciated.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
And congrats.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your new job.
So I hope it's less of a pain in the ass, but if nothing else, it'll be a more well-paying pain in the ass.
Yeah. Work to live, not live to work.
Caleb Collins, the 2. So Malekith's the only elf that doesn't suck in AOS? We don't know, because he doesn't do anything. He called his mom stupid for being stupid, and that was it.
And maybe 5th edition we'll see something.
Hopefully.
In 5 years' time.
Yeah.
Angry Humongous for the £2 says IIRC.
If I recall correctly.
Oh, if I recall correctly, I don't even know. There's IF successor? Imperial Fist really. Successor that becomes Catapult.
Is this, do you remember I was trying for the life of me to find the Sleepy Marines? Because that might be what they're talking about. There's some chapter that like something is wrong with their like circadian node or whatever the thing.
The Imperial Fist, they can't do like the going to hibernating sleep. I can't remember what it's called, but like most Space Marines, they can just be like meditate and then they go into like, oh, I can sleep for 100 years and it's fine. Imperial Fist can't do that because gene flaw.
We won't have a sleep for the week. Yeah.
I swear that's a thing, though, where it's like there's a chapter where it's like it does work, but also sometimes they just don't wake up. Like, they can't wake up for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
There's an insane amount of damage. Or they get, like,
not
they
being
get
funny, like, the warp. The warp can, like, put you out of action for, like, a good few centuries. Like, I was just doing, like, a bit on, like, the, who was that? I can't remember who it was. Talking about the tiger claws. And it's like, they disappeared, and they came back, and it's like, it feels like 10 minutes. Like, you've been gone for, like, 300 years. Where have you been?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm sorry.
My bad.
I didn't know.
Speaking of people who've been hiding for a while.
When am I going to make my Nikocado avocado comeback? I'm not.
Oh.
How? You can see me. You He's know I'm not that big.
Not being funny, I had a look at the video and I was like, oh, he hasn't put up a video in like 8 months. I'm like, I understand how he did that. It's impressive, but it's still like, whoa. My word.
Is that Thankful again?
Yes, that was Thankful again.
Yeah, bro is diabolical. Shirt off, Colin. No, Colin's talking about elves. Let him enjoy this.
One last one. HBLOV, thank you for the 2 BGN. IDK about Catatonic, but we need Narcoleptic Marine. That'd be funny.
That'd be hilarious.
The Kabanda's Mighty Shlong of Cygnus. Is it weird that I find Snake Marathi more attractive? You know what I'm going to say to that, so I don't know why you bothered, but I do thank you for the donation. You know what my answer is.
Serpentine brothers, escape, evade. Serpentine, left, right, get out of there.
It's plastic dangerous. Bag, I'm not moving.
But speaking of the item, they've been hiding away for, I guess it was this is Age of Myth, right? This is like,
yeah, so this is like, this is, years. They've been doing this. At this point, this is still early on. Like, there's still the next flaw they figure out they have, which is when they have a kid. Only 1 in 100 survives past infancy. And that's because, as it turns out, 99 out of 100 are born with a soul that withers away within days of being born, which is a slight issue. So they tried to fix this. They either tried like everything they possibly could, you know, magic, like doing that physical method, anything, which none of it would work. Their children kept being born with, again, 99 out of 100 very withering souls.
Is this a side effect from the Slaanesh stuff, I assume?
Yeah. Like that, and also, you know, Teclis not quite making them 100% right. It's like, it's a bit of a mix.
Damn. Really is Teclis's fault again.
Hey, this one, you know what? I'm coming to the defense again. I'm just going to say it. I think recreating a race from scratch, I think the fact he got this far was pretty impressive on the first try.
The other gods seemed to be all right. They did it fine.
Yeah, well, the other gods didn't have a race that was all in Slaanesh.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Wow. Fair. I'll give him his flowers.
He had a harder starting point to work from. Screw you. Screw all of you. Leave him alone. But they started. So yeah, they had this problem, and because, you know, ocean's still a dangerous place, they hadn't completely tamed all of it. Every now and then a big sea monster just takes a bite, or an ocean-faring god beast takes a real big bite.
Oh, because this is the era where, like, there are things that exist in the world which even give Nagash and Sigmar, like, trouble.
Yeah, this is the era of, like, it's like those beings, like, the background fluff will be like, Nagash and Sigmar could barely beat them, the Chaos Gods were wary, even if they were around, they would have been wary. The Idoneth didn't have any gods to turn back to. So, they were still at this point. So, with that, there were pretty constant losses, which is why, in addition to the, you know, most of their children not making it very far, eventually got to the point we are now in Age of Sigmar, where there's only one remaining of these Kithai, which is why I was saying most of them don't remember who they were. It's because they're dead. But they did find a solution eventually. Get the souls of something else, put it in the Eye of the Deepkin. They won't die prematurely. Now, I know this is a little bit, you know, a little bit Dark Eldar is creeping back in, but to their credit, they started with animals. Like, we don't want to just go around murdering people if we can help it. So they started with animals. Problem is, animal souls would only buy them a couple days. So instead of the infant dying in a week, the infant has 10 days to live. so eventually they bit the bullet and started raiding the surface, the people who lived like on coastlines, in order to get souls that wouldn't, you know, would basically patch up their souls. And it was, it works a lot better. I'll say that. The problem is that even with that, for a million different reasons, really, you could, if you're me and favor to elves, you go, well, human and dwarf souls are not enough to keep an elf alive for as long as they normally would be. You could do, like, there's just incompatibilities. This is an elf. This is a human. Clearly those souls, you're not just supposed to jam one into their body. It doesn't grant them the full lifespan they normally would, but it still gives them, you know, years and decades of life compared to the, you know, a week an animal might get you. So with that, they started being able to actually live with the raiding of other people's souls. And they would take anyone, like humans, dwarfs, orcs, the Sylvaneth, if they could find any. It would empower them to have a somewhat normal lifespan. And it was
not like, you know how like in the Dark Eldar or Drukharian 40K, they take particular interest in taking other Eldar as like slaves because they're more valuable. Is another like elves soul like more valuable? Is it more compatible, or is it just again like it's just they're born deficient and it's constantly drained, like Slaanesh or something is draining a soul on them no matter what? So it doesn't matter who it is.
It doesn't really matter who. I do believe elves are a little bit they're more compatible, but it's still like they'll still take anyone. It's just a matter of how many souls they need.
So it's like is their currency form in a way, like pretty much. The elf soul is the highest currency, probably reserved for like the wealthy, and then the other ones are cheap.
I don't think it's outright currency. I think like some of the Realmstone stuff counts as currency, but it is like they do definitely, you know, some people have the choice, they have the choice pick. Although that being said, I'll talk about their caste system in a bit, but the elite don't actually need those souls. The elite of the Eidon of the Society are that 1 out of 100.
Ah,
have the good soul,
and that's not random. Like they can, the full soul ones can possibly make full soul children,
potentially. But I think it's more of like, you know, it's like a 1 out of 50 compared to a
1 in 1,000.
Yeah, 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 100 chance.
Damn.
So it's still not great, but. They have a solution now. They do still look, and I will give them credit. The Dark Eldar see this as a feature, not a bug. They go, now we get to raid and enslave people. This is perfect. Now we have a biological reason to be the worst.
Always the optimist, the Drukhari or the Dark Eldar in this case. Yeah. Oh, it's just more ways to torture. It's good for us, I guess.
Yeah. The Eidon of the Art, they do still look for cures because let's put morality aside, having to constantly raid people for their souls is a dangerous proposition. So even ignoring the fact they're killing people for it, it would be safer if they didn't have to do that. So they do still continually look for a way like completely out of this.
And are they still secret? Are they like a, they're not like at well known
this moment? They are. So at this point it's still most just for survival, but as time goes on, more Eidoneth are born, they start wanting to expand. And Age of Sigmar has this thing called Realm Gates, which is it's like how you travel between the realms. The Eidoneth have their Whirlways, which are basically underwater Realm Gates that let them go across all the mortal realms.
Oh, is that like how, like the land, like on when in Nagash's realm, underworlds and like afterlives, like when a culture has an afterlife, it creates something in the realm, and then they actually can be connected to other afterlives of different places. And I'm guessing this is like an ocean thing where like realms, oceans are somewhat connected.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, it's big. Because again, the Sigmar map is just like as big as you want it to be. So
pretty much, yes. Functionally infinite.
Damn.
They're moving out now. And at this point, they start forming different enclaves because, you know, they have a growing population. eventually there's more and more differences between those Ideneth who are coming up out now. Like, you know, for example, do we want to ravenously expand and just kill anyone we can because we deserve it? Or do we want to be, you know, we're still going to raid people, but keep it to the minimum needed to survive? So they start spreading out across the realm, spreading out across, you know, into different enclaves that have their own specializations and whatnot. They're still mostly secret. The thing is, a lot of the times, like, you ever played, have you, either of you guys played Payday 2?
Yes.
You know when you just give up on stealth? You
start going for the cops, yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of stealth the Ideneth had, which is, it's not stealthy because they're just quietly sneaking in and grabbing a couple of people. It's stealthy because one day the village is there, the next the people in the village are not there anymore. Everyone is gone.
I'm just going to say that Payday 2 may well have one of the best video game soundtracks of all time. And when Infinite Ammo comes on, it's like, how are you supposed to stay stealthy? Not being funny.
You're not.
No, it's just, I'm going guns blaming him. And then I started shooting the Danny DeVito meme. Like, that's how it is.
Razor,
so started blasting.
Razor Mind is one of the best songs ever made in gaming history.
It's like, what's the one from Metal Gear Rising?
Red Sun.
No,
Rules of Nature.
The Stranger I Remember.
Violent Springs.
No, not Collective Consciousness.
Stranger I Remain.
This is yeah.
People in the chat.
No, that's not. You were singing Stranger I Remain, Andy. What?
I'm doing a different one. It's like.
What are you talking about?
It's the It Begins.
Senator Armstrong. Standing here, I realize you were just.
It has to be this way. Yeah. It has to be this way.
Violence brings.
Thank you, people. Anger Monster. Thank you. My God, that song.
It has to be this way.
Immediately, like, I'm just immediately thinking of the Senator Armstrong fight. And I was like, that's rage.
I must admit, when we formed Law Crimes, and, you know, Colin's the biggest of all of us in terms of, like, influence. When I approached him, it was like that scene where I was riding and he was patting me on the back, but I didn't say, "You're goddamn insane." I was like, "You are the slop king. I submit. You're my brother now."
Slop king.
Am I finally getting through?
Yeah, that's the thing. You're like, am I finally getting through? I'm like, yes. Let us join forces.
What the hell were we talking about before this? I mean,
something 100% casualty rate. They would just entire towns. Okay, there we go.
That's one hell of a whiplash.
The Ideneth. So this is happening in, like, is it more concentrated in some realms, or is this just everywhere?
There's some they have less of a presence in. For example,
the Shadow One with Malik.
Yeah, they've got a little bit less there. In Shaiish, the Realm of Death, it took them a little bit how to properly figure out how to get those souls because most people there are dead.
I'm surprised they don't attack Nagash in some way, since he likes souls and he probably has a lot of them.
We'll get to that one.
This is before the actual Age of Sigmar part.
Yeah, this is still the Age of Myth. At one point, the first person to figure out they exist, because most people, occasionally there were survivors, but it would be like one raving madman who kept talking about the sea coming to life to eat them. So that, you know, that dude would get ignored. The only proof of their existence was crazy people, and villages would sometimes show up empty. It's Warhammer. There's a lot of reason a village might show up empty one day.
Skaven, it could be anything.
Skaven, Nagash decided he was angry at them. He's very public. So
there's anything that's still there.
Yeah, or anything. Like, it's still like Age of Sigmar for the average person, especially at this point. It's good compared to what comes later, but it's still like, you know, like medieval-ish, renaissance-ish times. Mm. Could be the plague. Could be a whole number of things. Maybe they just decided to move somewhere else more profitable. So no real proof of them yet. The first one, although the powers that be, you know, had some suspicions. Sigmar, you know, he had some ideas. Something was in the ocean, something dangerous. But he, you know, he had a lot of problems on his plate, forming civilization, dealing with Nagash, Gorkamorka. He's got bigger things to worry about. So he didn't look into it at this point. Alariel found out at one point, when the Idoneth attacked some coastal Sylvaneth, and she happened to be nearby. And since she's a goddess, I also forgot. They have memory-altering magic, the Idoneth. So
yeah.
That also helps. So even if you survive, there's that a decent chance you don't know what the hell happened.
Is it the mists, isn't it? They often use it in like mist form.
Yeah, that's part of it.
So when they attack, like mist like comes up from the ocean and people are like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. And then if anyone lives, they're like, where did everyone I know and love go? Damn. What happened? But Alariel's a goddess and one of like the eight goddesses of the mortal realm, like major ones. So she's immune to it. And ever since she found out, the Sylvaneth have been on guard of the Idoneth, but most people still don't know. So Sylvaneth, they did keep the secret in exchange for the Idoneth and the realm of Gyron life, dialing back their attacks a bit. But the Age of Chaos comes along. Still not quite the Age of Sigmar, but you know, the Age of Chaos now. Eventually, a keeper of secrets found them and attacked them, you know, with all sorts of demons. And sure enough, you know, they started fighting. But their Eidolon, they had advanced to this point where those Eidolons of Mithlan, the like semi-avatars, they were out and about, able to throw their weight around. So that secret was kept from Chaos as a whole after that Slaaneshi army was destroyed. Archaon, though, at one point, was, you know, he was crunching some numbers and it's like, there should be a lot more elves in the mortal realms than there actually are. Where is this missing bunch? Where is the math? And sure enough, some gaunt summoners, you know, did some scrying magic, finding stuff out, and then Archaon.
There was Zinch demon, just for people.
Yeah, Zinchian demons did some scrying, found that first keeper of secrets, that Archaon then tortured until the demon spilled the beans on it.
Spoiled the secret.
Yes, spoiled. It did not keep the secret any longer. But even at this point, they're still underwater, you got to remember. And a Chaos Warrior is a very big threat. But when it has to do the awkward pool walk to get to you, it's a lot less of a threat, let alone when it just kind of drowns, sinking to the bottom of the ocean. So they didn't change too much standard operating procedure in the Age of Chaos. Were you going to ask something, Hal? I thought you might have.
Oh, no, I'll keep going.
Yeah. That last Sithat Kithai, whatever I mentioned, though, his name is Volturnos. He's like the leader of one of the enclaves, and he's the last of the first generation. So he's got some respect from everyone, the High King, even. He did realize that eventually we're going to have to work with other people, because sure, right now the ocean's a real good defense, but the ocean didn't keep the original group of elves from Warhammer Fantasy safe at the end of the day. It's probably not going to keep us safe if everyone else dies either, which most Idoneth didn't really agree with, but enough did. And as time went on, more and more came around with that idea. So he started looking for allies. That was mostly what they were doing during the Age of Chaos. Still limited to themselves, to the ocean, would only raid for souls. Turns out they can take Chaos souls just as well, which is actually a nice bit. They don't need to worry too much about corruption. Chaos Warrior soul works just as well as a normal human soul. During this, you know, Volturnos is looking for allies. He reached out to Alariel first because, you know, she kept the secret. Figured maybe she'll, you know, maybe she'll work with them. But even though she's immune to all their tricks and magic, she knows the other Sylvaneth aren't. She's aware they have a history of it. So Alariel turned them down. She didn't turn them down in the Warhammer way, which is say no and then kill them. But she did, you know, tell them to leave. She wasn't going to.
No trust.
No trust was had. Pardon me. She did also, or not she. They did, however, encounter some Stormcast Eternals. And now they did start off by fighting the Stormcast, but they figured out that because their souls just magically teleport back to Azir when they die, they couldn't capture them.
Rocket straight back into Sigmar's anus to be thrown out again.
Why'd you have to say that?
Because I just don't know.
Did you have to say that, Hal? I'm just, I know content is content, but
chat
like...
was expecting something. Don't worry. Every
moment you speak gives Thankful more ammunition.
Truly. I think he said earlier he wants to trick me into saying the certain word with a hard R.
Don't do that. And I've seen the donations, they're horrid.
Speaking of donations though, Andy, is there another set? I believe.
Oh, there's a bunch. Here we go. I'll mention the first couple. So we got Joseph Pollard. I thought Andy was blonde for a long time, handsome but blonde. I'll dye my hair if you want. If you donate some money, I'll go blonde. I'll Ken up. No.
Bless you.
Ken, thank you. Catastrophe. Next one is Caleb Collins. What's a worst potential plot? More half Eldar / human hybrids or Primarchs having kids? Also, Collins rocking the Dale Gribble look / hairline.
Dale Gribble from King of the Hill.
Oh, which one's Dale?
I think I know just from what he said. Sorry, Colin.
Dale is the crazy conspiracy one.
Oh, he's like blonde? No, he's like blonde and he's got like small eyes.
No, I'll put an image of him in chat.
Thankful, I'm not doing anything, brother. Another one from Caleb Collins. I apologize for inspiring.
Oh, him with the hat.
Preg in chat? What does that even mean?
Male pregnancy.
Oh, male pregnancy. Okay, right. Yeah.
Don't ask.
Seahorses. Someone said something about seahorses earlier, I bet. Donkeyman USA, bless you, Colin. Donkeyman USA for the $5. Poured out for Ingo Peck, Alpha Legion first captain. Drongomascus just left him stuck under the Imperial Palace. Truly, what was the thing, Andy? Is that he left him next like a detonation mine thing? Where like
I have not read the end of the death yet.
It's one where like if he moves, it explodes.
I have all three. I am going to read them soon or listen to them soon. I have listened to all the Horus Heresy, but those because I had like number 2 and 3 from a deal, and then I had to wait for number 1. And I only got it like a week ago, so now I can get round to it at some point.
I'm not gonna lie; it's really hard to care about a single Alpha Legion character more than like, the Legion.
Sorry, school from the
character. No,
what's the one? He's like a loyalist. Alpha Legion, who's fighting within the traitor lines, and he's like, we're fighting this as a battle, but we don't really want to because we're really loyal. Anyway, another one from Caleb Collins. The second shortest has the most reach. Nice. Is that in reference to us? Or
Who's the second shortest? Who's the second? Wait, how tall are we all? Again?
5'9".
Fun on me for being short.
Eli's the shortest. Oh, Eli, by the way, unfortunately, people are wondering, Eli is currently on holiday at the moment, enjoying a nice time. Caleb Combs again, thank you, brothers. Nagash L, D tier, Hayden Seeker, Iden Ether, S tier.
Fool.
They truly have fooled him for a little while.
I'd like to take the last one, if you don't mind. H. Mialov with the 2BGN just said, Lord Cunnilingus.
I think he's referencing me.
Thank you for that.
So Cosmic Stone was an HP Lovecraft cat. We're not talking about
We're not talking about the cat.
It's free sustenance. It's great.
That meme about it is funny, though. I won't lie. It's the, can we rename something after in
honor? Yeah, can I name my Titan in honor of a certain, my cat? That's just a picture of, you know,
my the cat.
It's funny with the music. The
I do love that Zoom chat or whatever it was during lockdown where it was like a congressman or something and he was like he had a cat filter. He's like, I just need to clarify, I'm not a cat. I'm like, I'm sure they get it.
If we understand.
All people in technology is still comedy until you get asked to help. So like truly the worst. So the Ideneth currently at this point, they're reaching out. Yeah, they're like, yo, you guys, I haven't heard from us in a while. Remember, I was like, yeah, didn't you kidnap thingy? Like, nah, I wasn't me.
Yeah, see, that's they're dealing with that, making a couple allies a little bit. Go forward a bit, and Nagash is doing his funny ritual thing as he tends to do.
The Necroquake.
And, yeah. So he'd known from the beginning souls are disappearing. He's a very good accountant with that kind of thing. Didn't know where. As it turns out, the Idoneth and Shaiish had altered their magic a bit and used it to harvest even souls that have been dead for a very long time. Or souls of undead beings. Vampires, Nighthaunt. Which, you know, Nagash isn't happy with that. But at this point, he doesn't know. No idea. And then someone accidentally drains an entire ocean in Shaiish. Would anyone like to take a guess who could fuck up so badly they drain an ocean by accident?
Is it No. Skaven character. What's his name?
It was Thankful.
Yeah.
Brother. Accidentally drained an ocean, which did flood Skaven White with zombies, by the way. But that's neither here nor there. And with that, you know, Nagash kind of looked over to the hole where an ocean used to be, saw a bunch of elves flopping around like dead fish. They don't actually flop around when they're out of the water. That's a funny mental image. and was like, ah, there you are. And around this point, especially with Nagash, they're now on the super murder list because they've been stealing souls for centuries and he had no idea who was doing that. Now he knows. So his response to this is to now purposely start emptying seas in Shaiish. And every time he finds Idoneth and one, just try and drown them in zombies.
Shout out to Nagash for being 100% a consistent character. Just immediately
everyone.
Pettiest bastard ever. Like, he's like, they sold a few souls. I'm going to drain oceans because that's my only thing. That's my shtick. Like, that's his only thing. Like, the dude is never inconsistent. He just straight up will, like, I'm just going to be immediately petty. And if there's a puddle larger, is any bit of body of water larger than a puddle, I'm going to immediately nuke it with undeath magic.
If this is waist deep or more, it's going. So at this point, the Idoneth got desperate because, oh, hey, Nagash is now trying to kill us directly. And this was, like, you know, during, like, the Necroquake stuff, so he's ascendant. So they changed their policy a little bit and would much more commonly ally with the forces of order. Never super close, but enough to, you know, get the job done, fight a battle, then everyone goes their separate ways. Idoneth hoover up the souls of everyone who's dead, and then everyone leaves. They'll even work with the Lumineth Realm Lords a little bit, and Teclis. Although they still will avoid that one as much as they can. I think at one point, like, they had, like, the least friendly alliance rules between any two factions, to the point that I think Khorne and Slaanesh allied forces got along better than Teclis and the Lumineth and the Idoneth did.
Well,
do not like each other, but, you know, Nagash and Chaos make good enemies, so they did what they had to do.
So they ultimately see is like Chaos is like the true threat, but it's more of like the enemy of my enemy is a friend rather than, you know, like, we don't want to, we you know, if Chaos didn't exist, we would immediately be on you.
They would never be speaking to each other.
Who needs friends when you have enemies?
Exactly. A little bit further on, Marathi, when she decides it's her turn to be the main character for a bit, steals that lantern they'd stolen way back when from Teclis. She sent, you know, 60 elite forces in. Two of them survived, one of which only because it was captured by the Idoneth and interrogated. They learned of Marathi trying to ascend to godhood, and they flipped the hell out. This group didn't get the lantern. The next group would have Marathi herself leading it. So what ended up happening, I completely flubbed on that one. They did get the lantern. The Idoneth learn of this from the captured daughter of Cain, flip out, because she has the lantern. She could use it to find all their hidden enclaves and wipe them out. So Volturnos, that High King fella, just declares war on the daughters of Cain in the entirety. He gets forces from every single Idoneth enclave that had spread out by this point, and just bum rush Marathi's, like, capital. Which, fierce resistance. But Volturnos, you know, his elite guard, are able to reach the chamber. Marathi's ascending to godhood, but they don't quite stop it. He does crack, you know, the little dark elf cauldron of blood Marathi's using, which does ruin it a little bit. But Marathi is still a god. With that, you know, now that she's a proper deity, she defeats him and his forces, pins him to the floor. But instead of this going, you know, by way of murder, she offers them an alliance. And as a peace offering, she even gives back the lantern, as well as a whole bunch of lost original Cathay souls. So Volturnos, he knows he's dealing with Marathi, who's only not the worst because Nagash is 5 feet to the left. But she's still, you know, fighting for second place on most awful being in Warhammer, Age of Sigmar.
And they're not really like her main... Like, no. Just no plans on them other than they could be useful.
Yeah, that's it. It's a very tentative alliance that was, yeah, it was mostly just accepted partially because those Cathay were Volturnos's like original brothers and sisters and friends and all that. And Marathi was an outright planning to attack them. So they help Marathi conquer a city called Anvilgard a little bit. But no one trusts the other, so it's really just a matter of who stabs who in the back first. So it's a tentative alliance. With that, they're haven't been doing too much. There's been some stuff a little bit with some Idoneth characters and some books, but for the overarching lore, they've got, you know, that very tentative alliance. They were raiding some Fire Slayer lodges because even in the Realm of Fire, there are still oceans.
I read that book. I have read. I actually read this.
I haven't actually read that one yet. How was it?
This is Soul Slayer, if I remember correctly. Although, to be fair, this is kind of like it's an end of possibly an arc one of Gotrek's Return. So there's a lot of heavy spoilers in it. There are some cool moments in it, which I can explain, which aren't really spoilers. Which is in like the Fire Slayer hold when the Idoneth attack. They essentially have amnesia each time it's happening, so it's obviously quite funny. But when like Gotrek arrives into the hold, like this mist starts growing around, and then
presumably not affecting him in the slightest.
No, not at all. But when he is like, he's like trying to tell them, like, signal, you know, the defense, and they're like, no one knows what's going on. And with like the magics of the Idoneth, they're actually able to like swim. So all their beasts and like their magical things that they ride and things like that, they're able to swim within the actual mist itself, like an ocean. That's why it makes them so like deadly and effective. And when eventually, because Gotrek and his companion, like they're still like somewhat with it, they're able to like basically get the hold and alert, and they like all the Fire Slayers just like bum rush out and just go for it. And they attack the hold like a couple times because they wanted to take the soul of Gotrek, because they realize he's basically a reincarnation of basically a god. No spoilers for that stuff, but they think Gotrek is a reincarnation of a god, and then if they were able to somewhat extract that soul from Gotrek, then they would like have basically a ridiculous supply. There's a cool thing it mentions, like some things they're in like their cities,
if not outright cure their condition, then have a, like such a battery of soul juice that they don't got to worry about it for a while.
It was enough for like at least one enclave to be pretty much souped up.
Set.
Yeah, not like all of them. But there was something cool to about Idoneth cities, particularly how a lot of them, like, obviously being on the ocean floor, they're very much like coral, and places are like shaped into their buildings, which is really cool. They often have the souls of their, like, if you're wondering like what happens to their dead, it does go explore into that book how they have the souls of their, they don't consume the souls of their own dead, which is very interesting because obviously it's like in a way like sacred to them, and that's one of the things they wouldn't touch. And I think you mentioned about they do have a caste system. You might explain that before I go any further.
I do have that.
Yeah,
if you'd like. Yeah, the they've got three very clear distinct castes, and then kind of a fourth one, but as of now the fourth one only has one guy. So the that fourth cast is, you know, the original Cathay, which, again, due to war, accidents, also like age, only Volturnos is left. But he's, you know, they're kind of like they're above the rest. They're, you know, they're more equal than everyone else, or however that phrase goes.
Some are more equal than others.
Yeah, some are more equal than others. They would, in theory, be above, you know, everyone else. There's only one guy. He is the High King, though, so, you know, it does still hold. But going from the bottom up now, we have the Nemarti, which are those vast majority of the Aedaneth who are born with incomplete souls that need to be constantly topped off. Super pale, short lifespan, don't even have eyes. I think the Battle Tome mentions, like, they give it, like, they got like 30 to 40 years in them. But they can, like the Dark Eldar, like, keep replenishing their souls with more souls. So they can live for a while, but you gotta put the work in to do that. Next up is the Akelians, the warrior caste. Those are the fellas on the eels. So if you ever see, you know, you see an elf riding a fish or a shark or big turtle, my beloved, that's an Akelian. That's why I was saying earlier, like, they don't so much need, like, the better souls, because those are the lucky few who are, they're good. They don't need the soul magic exploit, like, necessarily speaking. And then the last one is the Isharan. Those are the magic users and the priests. I believe they're also, like, composed of the ones that are good soul. So those are the three major castes of the Aedaneth. Were you going to add something, Hal? Because I was going to talk about, like, that mist, that Aether Sea, if you didn't.
Oh, I know, finishing on the last part of that, which is because of interesting enough, they don't consume their own dead. It's like a big faux pas. Mm-hmm. So to stop their souls going to Slaanesh when they die, because that still happens to some elves, they actually, like, store them in, like, sort of sea beds of, it's not a coral, but it's like, it's kind of like flowers, but not really, like the, like an ocean, like vibrant flower based thing. And they're because it's like sacred grounds, like the most, and like the best job ever is being a guard for, like, one of those places. And they are quite mysterious because they can basically, they're like mazes. You can get lost in them, but they're essentially like sort of graveyards of their honored dead. And there's obviously quite a lot of them, but most of them would never touch. You would never touch, like, if to touch it would basically be you'd enact war on all other
items. Yeah, they're going to kill you.
It is not worth it, though. But they do have, like, their cities are pretty cool. There's one more scene in the book, which is, like, in an auditorium. So they have stuff there. So, like, again, like, think of it, it almost is like they are, like, vampires in some kind of way, where, like there are pure blood vampires, and then ones like the lower ones, which kind of just end up serving them. But they have, like, proper cities and stuff, and weird parts, like, they're not all underwater necessarily. They have, like, bubbles of air in some places.
Andy's playing Dark Souls right now. On the screen, he's just rolling and rolling and rolling.
I'm just saying that, like, when you're the only Chad alive, you've got to, like, give them some kind of time to respawn, and it didn't work. And it was just, and then I'm down. It's really sad to see it.
I get it. I was in that situation before. Sometimes all you got is roll.
Was it damn Subway Surfers? But Gotrek is in the police force. Is the police officer? Oh yeah. Kind of. Yeah. It was actually one, like, the better Age of Sigmar Gotrek books.
I think.
Because the Aedaneth characters in the book were quite interesting, and they have complex politics amongst them, because obviously once you have, like, a big social caste and, like, you know, caste system, there's obviously big players in the game and things like that. That's mostly just parts in the book. If you want to, again, like, there are really cool battle scenes in the Mist, though, if you want to talk about the Mist.
Yeah. There was one last thing on the caste system. There's a bit of some lore flubbery, which is that I believe the army books mentioned that Nemarti caste is born without eyes. A short story has them, once they reach puberty, they get their eyes, like, ceremonially cut out. So hopefully whatever happens in fourth edition will clear that up a bit. Take a stance on that one.
I did have one more question. You mentioned, is it the previous elven god of the sea? What was his name again? It was
Mavlon.
There was, like, they have it's not like the avatars of Cain, but what is it? The
Eidolon of M'Thlan.
Yeah, like they are there's one in that book, the Gotrek book, which is kind of cool. Gotrek does fight one, which is again like just one of the reasons to go read the book at least at some point. But read all the other ones before it. You have to, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. But there's a scene which shows like they turn up. I don't know how to describe them. They're like they look like elves still, but they're not like Avatar of Kain's necessarily. They're like, I don't know.
The best like quick description of them I found is actually like their little description on the GW web store, which is that they're not divine avatars. They're like a collective manifestation of all the souls of the Deepkin.
They're kind of like, yeah, you know, they're kind, I don't know what the equivalent would be in like a 40K sense. Cause again, it's not like an incarnation of the Yanari's like Incarn thing or an avatar of Kain necessarily, but they are pretty cool when they show up.
They're sick when they show up. It's like explicitly not a god. It's in the image of M'Thlan, but he's not around.
Yeah, they're just basically Super Saiyans, essentially.
Yeah. But
the mist. The mist.
They call it the Aether Sea. So it's just how part of how their magic manifests. And the way it works is they basically take the ocean with them to the land. Now you can still, you know, you can still walk, breathe, all the normal stuff. You don't even have to do, you know, like I said, the awkward pool waddle when you're trying to go somewhere. But your breath, you know, might make bubbles, shipwrecks, coral will just randomly start just popping up spontaneously. And even sometimes if they are really driving it in, though, it can cause like sensations of pressure and potentially even drowning for someone completely caught on, like, unaware or unable to counter it for whatever reason. But for the most part, and, you know, for the sake of the game, it's not going to drown your enemy army, so every item in the Deepkin battle on the tabletop doesn't start with you going, and then you all drown, I win. It's not that powerful. But its other effect is, part of it, it does, you know, that mist starts creeping forth, and it lets them act as if they were still in the water.
Yeah, so cool.
Which is why an eel cavalry is an option for them, rather than, you know, they take the eel onto land, then it just kind of flops around. It is, for all intents and purposes, they're acting like they're in the water on the land. Like, they can swim.
It's like zero G, isn't it?
Kind of, you
can take a cavalry charge vertically, like, from above you.
They could, like, obviously, you can't really do that in real life. That's not how, you know, we don't have Aether Sea magic, but in like the lore, they could be swimming around. Like, they're not bound to 2D like a tabletop army is. They could be swimming up, down, from behind, below. If
and it's only then, like, their enemies don't have access to like the free floating stuff.
No, they could. I mean, in theory, if they learned how to use that magic, they could. The Aidoneth aren't teaching that to anyone. So good luck. And it just lets them do so much cool stuff like that. Just, again, swim out of the oceans as if they're still in the ocean. And honestly, like, Aidoneth, thinking about them is kind of terrifying in the same way like a lot of Lovecraft stories are, because I know one of his things was like Innsmouth, right? The sea.
Yeah.
So it's like these eyeless fish elves coming out of the ocean to kidnap you, take your soul, kill you. Probably horrifying, the Aidoneth can be when they're portrayed right.
That's just a regular weekend for Hal.
is truly my weekend.
He loves the Innsmouth Riz.
The DJB is Hal's hometown. Thank you, brother. No, because it when it describes it in the book, it's like when it happens in the intro prologue to like just a random village, and it's generally like very terrifying because people don't know what happens to them, and then suddenly they're all like snatched up or people are killed, and then you just have amnesia about like what the hell happened to my entire like life.
Yeah,
pretty. I like that aspect of it. It's generally quite scary.
Yeah, and it's and even like if that concept isn't scary, Jaws, you know, a shark, they bring the sharks with them. You're gonna, I take bite.
I love it. Mm.
It's
although yeah. Before we keep going, shall I read out the donations?
Or yes,
sure. Donations? There's only a couple things after this.
Okay.
But
Donkey Man USA said, "And you're gonna love it when Big E fights Horus in a Yu-Gi-Oh duel."
I love that. Sure, actually, technically canon, like in some way.
TTS was a prophet.
Oh man, incoming backup here for the 30 squigglies, is what we're calling it. Thank you, brother. Because I just remembered that Gotrek was straight up immune to the Ideneth mind magic. His advice for Malineth on how to deal the magic was be built different and then punch a shark. I think I remember in the book, his whole thing is just he just says nonsense and he just keeps walking because he just thinks it's all nonsense and therefore it doesn't affect him. Like his belief in it. Caleb Collins
is wonderful.
$2. When will Nekos invade AOS? Yeah. Oh, no regret. Oh, God. That's some cat things I'm too normal to think about. Kenna go for the $2. Thankful can use AI to make Hal say gamer words. No. Do not do that. I promise you, like, generally that may kill some problems.
We're not going to have a bridge moment for Hal.
Two again. Thank you. Who's more arrogant, Gotrek, Fulcrum, or Vegeta?
God, that's a tough one.
There's a passage where Gotrek admits everything comes and goes, like even the dwarfs will die. So he has occasional humility capacity. Fulcrum, he's
not capable of it anymore.
No.
Vegeta has some, his best moments are when he kind of is slightly more.
Vegeta dies and he'll shit talk you from the afterlife.
Yeah, he's still. He knows that Kakarot's better than him, though.
He does admit that at the end of Z, yeah. That was a cool moment.
Smashing Badger again. The best name.
Thank you for the €2.
Tom Warren for the £2. $2, sorry. Oh. Thank you. Lord Crime should do a Lovecraft stream sometime. Maybe. We'll have to do it all in one episode, just because otherwise it will be poor torture.
There'll be a lot of howl. And to be fair, we also did the, Lovecraft Gods versus what was it, the Emperor?
Chaos Gods, I think.
Oh, Chaos Gods, that's what it was. Yeah, that's why I was confused. So that was good for
that one. If I was going to call him, I probably lost. Damn, whoever has to face Colin in the next verses,
I bring my gamer rage to the verses.
It's just Ultramarines it.
That one, look, you had the uphill battle there. The Ultramarine.
I thought I did all right. I tried my best. I tried to take away the
good versus
the strength of your spy acknowledging my own weakness. Another one had for Mr. Mialov, just for the last one here. He says, "How sing along Lennon's most controversial title or recreate his self portrait." Bro, what is this guy on today? I don't understand these requests. Oh man, where's Thankful? Is he still being diabolical? The Ideneth Deepkin, though, at this point, we're sort of just looking at their culture and stuff and their cities, like their cool magics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Their models are good, though, as well.
Their models are disgustingly good. Like, I'll even give some slight credit to GW on this one. They held themselves back and made the faction leader character only $60. I mean, held back by Games Workshop standards, but
is that the guy? Is that the guy? What's his name again? It's a V.
Volcanoes.
That's one where he's on like the seahorse thing.
Yeah, the seahorse mermaid thing with the two tails, three tails.
I've seen some paint jobs on that model. Tails. The paint job on that model, some people have done, is incredible. Genuinely, like, really, because again, with ocean stuff, you really have free reign to go anywhere with it. I mean, if like, I wouldn't even be surprised if like some people kit bashed old like Vampire Coast like model bit things just to go in, like, you know, what's the one with like, it's the huge crabs that have like the guns on them of some kind.
Yeah,
I need crabs. I need ocean crab elf army, please.
Got crabs?
Damn, I need crabs. I wanted to buy like little things for like making my ocean floor bases for my Iron Hands army that I don't really play at the moment because 10th edition is difficult for base marine players. But yeah, we'll talk about 10th edition at some point now. I'm saying it. This is Ideneth time in the sun.
Just some kind of final notes if anyone, any, nothing else to add. I, you know, discuss their tabletop a bit. Unless sure. any questions,
Andy.
I mean, to be honest, I'm just happy to be here. I have no idea about the idea. It's like, oh, they ride seahorses. I had what they called all those things when you were a kid, and they were like sea monkeys, and you could like,
oh yeah, drink.
Yeah. I'm like, they're like them, and that's all my reference point.
I mean, I'll take what I could get. That didn't sound like a complaint, so I'll take what I could get.
I regret saying the word crabs now. The chat is alive on me. And then Holy Emu says Pancreas Zangle.
No, go to hell.
That's the second channel.
They, so if you're running an Ironeth army, you're going to have a lot of eels. You're going to have a whole lot of eels.
About it.
It's Big Turtle. I love him. And the Big Turtle is, as you'd expect, an absolute monster. Big Turtle is expensive. I haven't checked his point cost for 4th edition yet. It was around 500 points, I think, in like 2nd or 3rd at one point.
It's not Nagash levels, though.
It's not Nagash level, but that's a quarter of your army for a full 2K army. Nagash is 1,000 points. That's a high bar. I don't think 1,000 points should be the baseline of considering a model expensive.
What is like the equivalent of a Nagash in 40K? It was 1,000 points.
It's just like a Titan almost. Yeah, I mean, a Warhound is 2K, but I don't. Are there any like 1,000 point models? I feel like it's mostly like you get up to 500 maybe, and then it just rapidly jumps to 2,000 with a Warhound.
Magnus the Red is like the most expensive. I think, or him or Angor is like 500. Or 400 and late 400s. Mortarion's like 325 as of the time of recording, which is stupidly cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Calfeet's thankful. Thank you, Caleb Collins.
So you're gonna see a whole lot of eels. You got two different variety of eels, so that's cool. But they're, I don't want to go out and say anything is bad. I'm looking through, you know, a little bit of that old video I made for them for tabletop stuff. You do have a lot of options. Get into melee range, close the gap with. You do have some range territory. You've got the, you know, and it's the best possible kind of range, which is just they strapped a ballista to a shark. I cannot compliment whoever made that decision enough. That man, that woman, whoever made that choice, whoever they may be, give them more money. They do have a bit of a limited range, though. For example, the Namardi Thralls and Reavers. I believe they're the same kit. No, it does not look like they're the same kit. But your baseline infantry is essentially these two kits. You don't have a terribly large amount of options. But at least personally, you've got a pretty decent amount of characters to choose from. The Eidolon with Lon can be built in two different ways. Volturnos can be a normal king. Again, Big Turtle. I know I'm very biased in that, but Big Turtle.
I know Big Turtle, 100%.
Like I look at Big Turtle, and then the fact they only have 18 options available to choose from, one of which is the faction pack, and another of which is just a shipwreck terrain piece. It just fades away because the Big Turtle is great. I fervently look forward to Big Octopus.
Such from the same problem of like, it's the Space Marine thing in Warhammer, and then Eldar get absolutely left behind in terms of like model releases. But yeah, I feel the Ironeth are somewhat popular though, which is deservedly so.
They are popular, and they it is a solid roster. Like it's it doesn't look like they don't have. Like they've got what they need to be a proper army. We didn't Leagues of Votan it here, where we got half of an army still waiting on the other half any day now.
Still waiting on a lore book. Arthur, shout out to Arthur Bones, getting a damn immortalized piece of his own body, because for a faction that doesn't even have a lore book, my god.
Is that one book not out yet?
It's not out yet, but we did an episode of on the second channel I did called Fixing 40K, and he was the first on because Leagues of Votan, it's too obvious not to pick. And it was like at the time we recorded, all they had was a couple of models and 25 community posts on Warhammer Community, and the book hadn't been released at the time of recording, and it was just like a tweet, and it had been deleted. I'm like, oh, this is great.
Right, like, with some Warhammer factions, there's a little bit of like, there's some, I feel like there's some copium in something, like, and that's just like, that's just personal taste with like certain things. I never, I very much love, I love like ocean style like looks to things, and I've always been like drawn to that. So even some people may not gel with it as much. I just feel like the Leagues of, this is not an Leagues of OTAN episode. The huffing of the copium is the strongest when it comes to Leagues of OTAN. But we'll have to say that for its own episode, or when we bring on Arthur to talk about Leagues of OTAN, and then it's like a 5-minute video.
I love Deep Rock Galactic.
That's not Warhammer 40k OTAN though. That's literally not even the same franchise.
Well, loving Deep Rock Galactic is all that's carrying the Votan for 90% of people.
Bruh. Rock and stone. Thank you, brothers.
Can you subsist off of rock and stone? If you can live off of only that, go play the deep. I can't even say the Leagues.
You're just going to
call them Deep Rock Galactic.
Where did Votan even come from? Who gives a crap about Votan? Like the name. No one's gonna, you know what I'm gagging for? You know what? At some point, not a single soul went, you know, none of this is happening. I'm gagging for a fucking Leagues of Votan slash
people
squad.
Wanted the squats back for a while. Let's not pretend there was
as an
nothing.
Allied force. Like, let's be honest. That
there were absolutely people who wanted a squat army back.
Yeah, all three of you. All three blokes, one in each continent, begging for that. And we're over here, sitting over here, barely any. Where's your Phoenix Lords, huh? Where's your Phoenix? Man, GTA 6 still might come out before we get all the
Phoenix Lords back. Fuck you.
I think they, again, like with the Age of Sigmar, they got opportunity to really cook with the Eidoneth. I do think they showed up in some recent campaigns I saw, and particularly there's one which is related to the realm, which is Nagash's one, where they kind of, it's just showing like the nature, like the basically the city, which is kind of half supported by the Stormcast Eternals, was being attacked by forces of death, and the Fire Slayers end up joining the forces of death because they get paid off, and then actually the Eidoneth Deepkin end up joining the forces of order as like a sort of tertiary extra force, but they never truly like align with anybody else. But it is cool to see them though. I do wish there's a bit more. Again, there's the character book, isn't it, for the king guy? I've seen that as a character book, so people want to go explore into that. That's like a good option if you're like, oh, I piqued my interest, and you know, I think it's on Audible, so if people just want to go
listen, you got an option.
Yeah, like, you don't have to, you know, you had your primer today, so if you want to go straight into it. With a lot of Age of Sigmar stuff, you can just kind of, you don't really have to like Horus Heresy timeline, like where am I? You just go pick up anything, like with a 40k. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't think I have much more to add to the Eidoneth. I hope to see more of them.
I hope there's more of them, although I'm content with where we're at now, the storyline. If they need to take a break so the Skaven can have their time to shine, I'll admit, I don't mind putting off the Eidoneth stuff a little bit longer. But in the future, you know, once the Skaven and everything is all good to go, get some of the sea elves out. Come on. Ocean-dwelling elves riding sharks is awesome.
It might be a while, because I think they'll probably do a next edition of, like, Malekith's Return.
Yeah, whatever the hell he's been doing, please.
No, again, like, with most, with 40K mess. And Age of Sigmar, they are very much, I think they want to pump out in terms of, like, they want to bring Age of Sigmar up to the level of like 40k, because I know like the tabletop game and like their own version of like Combat Patrol is super fun to play. So people are saying like, you know, and just like playing the game, you know what I mean? Like they've kind of got it on 40k in terms of like people who are playing Age of Sigmar are not complaining like us people who are playing 10th
edition. No, they're 40K. Pretty content.
So if people do have that stuff, again, it's pretty like from their. What I do like about Age of Sigmar particularly as well, you can, from their like their version of Combat Patrol, it's Spearpoint, I think, they can that actually is like a functioning like balanced army. So if you are buying the Eidoneth, or you're buying Skaven, or if you're buying Stormcast or something like that, it's actually like generally a bit more of like a less, it's easier to get into it compared to 40k.
Even better, I'd have to go through them all to go through them all to double check, but I don't think there's any spearhead boxes like the Mechanicus where, yeah, this ideally 500 point box is actually 300 points. You're going to lose every game you play with just this.
Yeah, I played against Admech recently. This guy, I hated it. The guy had like twice as much that I had on the field, like more than twice the amount, just because they're so undercosted. Unless they play Carradine Overlords, they need help. Some dwarves.
The Fire Slayers need more help.
The dwarves need help in...
Dwarves need a lot of help in Age of Sigmar anyways, right now.
finish off, though, for today's episode. Thank you, everyone, who did make it this far. Obviously, please do like and subscribe if you haven't so far. Andy is going to quickly... there's the dog on bed. Bed is being made. We will... As we said before, dog. Put the things in the chat for the dog. We will today be going over for the, at the end now, the question of the week. Andy, I do believe, I think, Andy, you have the previous ones.
Okay, so the last episode was our discussion of the Space Marine 2 Primer, and the hashtag was DLC. So this was a hashtag of, like, what would you add into Space Marine 2? The first one from Stephen4937 said, hashtag DLC. Pulling from the archives sees the majestic return of Gorgut's Ed Hunter, fan favorite, who turns up just to steal someone's hat again. Yeah, that'd be a nice
that'd be
crossover funny. With Dawn of War 2, no, 3.
No, oh, that's 2.
Oh, it is 2.
Dawn of War 1 and 2 are, or 1 and 3. God, what's his name?
Oh,
it's going to piss me off. How can I not think of his name?
The orc from Dawn of War Brothers.
Not Orc Among Us.
the one who, from Dawn of War 1, he's very iconic. Oh yeah, my god.
That's why it's pissing me off, and I don't remember his name.
The freebooter?
Dude, Dawn of War 3 orc.
No, it's the freebooter is the Dawn of War 2 one.
No, it's not Piss King. Yeah. Angry Homunculus.
Piss King.
Oh my god.
Because I had you, Hal, voice a Dawn of War...
a while ago, yeah. I don't remember his name. Oh my god. People quickly looking on their yes, it's the orc that joins.
Oh, that is Gorgut's. No, it's Captain Bloodflag is the one from second Dawn of War.
Gorgut's
that's why I was thrown off. Like
of course.
Can we get stupid from Dawn of War 1? The orc stupid.
I did like this Dawn of War 1. Like campaign.
I must admit, it'd be nice. Like, I remember when Mass Effect 3, they were like, we released the game, there's a multiplayer option, and then they just added the collectors from Mass Effect 2 as an army you could fight. And I was like, that's amazing. It'd be amazing if they could do, because I know they're gonna have a horde mode for Space Marine 2, and they could have Tyranids. And then if they just like patched in, we've made them look better, we've brought the code over and they brought orcs in, that'd be fantastic.
That'd be great.
You could have Tyranids, Thousand Suns, orcs. F Glassman N said hashtag DLC one idea. Let us fight orcs again. Maybe even a knob fighting in the war in game one, reforming the remains to get to fight Titus again. Another idea. Let us go to a demon world, Dead Sky, Black Sun, made Medrengard sound like a really interesting and bizarre environment. And it would be really cool to navigate such a strange world. I do enjoy the Uri. There are moments in the Uriel Ventress books, and that was definitely when I was just like, it's weird that like these Ultramarines are present on like Perturabo's homeworld and he's not involved, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah, Uriel Ventress books are a weird one to me. They're so hit and miss.
I just got the definitely... Choo Choo train, especially on that book. You got the Demon Tushu,
and then the
Thomas the Wank Engine.
The Monkey Lussie, thank you for ever bringing that Graham McNeil, you twisted individual. I do like your work though.
And the last one we had from Fanquil and Bone Ripper, hashtag DLC, you get to see Titus find a remaining old one. He then tells him about an ancient weapon called farting on my roommate's door. This will allow the Necrons to become alive again.
Titus will then kick the Silent King in his metal nuts while doing the giddy, destroying the Necrons forever, as it is foretold.
Lovely. The idea, like, the old ones tell them that joke and they laugh so hard they become organic is so ridiculous. Like, I enjoy that. Shout out. If people are wondering what that is about, just type in farting on my roommate's door into YouTube immediately and you'll understand. The absolute, like, okay, if you can watch that video with a straight face, you have no soul.
Hey folks, it's Andy here. We forgot to mention the question of the week during this recording, so I'm going to tell you it now. So we came to the consensus that maybe we should say the hashtag is hashtag wet. What makes you, quote, wet for Warhammer? I'm so sorry. Also, we've had a couple of donations recently. So we got one from Deacon83 for $4.99 scribbly booze. Since there isn't a bunch for 20k, at 20k subs, we should get someone to shop your faces over the Taking the Hobbits to Isengard video. Well, that's an idea.
God, we'll have to recreate it live, or we'll sing it all in unison. Probably not very well, but we'll do it. We probably should do something special for 20k at least at some point, yeah. Kettle Conswell, next versus, whose out of context clips are the worst? I mean, maybe we should do like next versus just straight up lore, like actual who we are. Like, if it's just Andy versus Eli in real life, like who's the better person? It'd be hilarious. No, and Kettle Cons again for the Idanussi isn't as bad as Scavelsi. Oh, bro, the brain rot. We are. I mean, I'm not going to complain about whatever someone else is saying. I haven't got a leg to stand on, but like that is particularly that is on point. Appreciate that. Thank you very much, Colin, for the Ideneth sort of deep dive there. If anyone has any things they want to hear about Age of Sigmar, again, we are visiting that a little bit more. On the schedule, there's a bit more Age of Sigmar and Warhammer Fantasy, just because we're in the mood. We're in the mood for it, so we're going to be visiting that a lot more often. Got some verses, got some guests coming up, so hope you all enjoy.
Possibly in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks today, we might have a very special guest, but it depends on schedule and like if we can get them on, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll bring some good stuff. For everyone who caught this live, thank you so much, and for people who made it this far, like and please give it a subscribe if you haven't, because obviously we need it for our egos, because clearly we have something wrong with us. How be naming Colin be falming? I don't even know what that means, Mike.
And also, we need likes and donations that I'm not frozen, like here, where it's just like a problem. So, yeah.
Colin SOA season tier list. Honestly, Thankful. I don't know if Thankful's been around long enough to even realize what the origin of that character. That's crazy that he's brought that up. He's also never watched a single episode of it.
No, but and I never will.
It truly, Sword Art Online truly is the anime in which you're like, if people were to describe anime, it would be that. Like, it's just the generic, it is the white bread of anime. Yeah. But enough about that. We had fun talking about Warhammer. Thank you, Colin, for the intro. Or not really, intro for Andy. A bit more of a deeper dive for me. And hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening and watching. We'll catch you all next time. Some Warhammer Fantasy is coming up. I'm so excited. I like this next topic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the chat and that completely threw me off.
It's okay for it. Hal built like a Falmer from Skyrim, bro. Jesus. Actually, the Falmer from Skyrim is kind of like a good reference point because they are like blind, but they're not ocean, really. More AOS. Whoop, you're begging. We'll see, brothers. Obviously, there's just Warhammer lore out, you know, for days, so we'll get to it.
There's a lot of lore.
All right, brothers, we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you so much for watching. See you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.